Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to the Red Umbrella podcast. My name is Sarkhil Sharif, better known as Abu Alia, and I'll be presenting these podcasts. Now, someone may ask, is there any religious, political, historical, or even cultural significance behind the idea of the Red Umbrella? The short and probably disappointing answer is no, not that I'm aware of. However, having said that, what the imagery of a single red umbrella amidst a sea of black umbrellas does represent, or at least to me anyway, is the idea of distinctness, something that is recognisably different. And things that are distinct or unmistakably different usually grab our attention. They tend to make us sit up and take notice. They may, even if momentarily, help focus our thoughts on thinking if the distinctness is good or bad, and if so, why? And it is this idea of focused thinking, of reflecting, pondering, as well as meditating upon life, meaning, and, in particular, being Muslim in 21st century liberal modernity, which will hopefully form the main themes of the Red Umbrella podcast. The Quran itself, in many passages, expects not just believers, but human beings in general, to be reflective and meditative creatures, drawing valuable life lessons from all that is around and within them. In one of these verses we read, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل إنما أعيذكم بواحدة أن تقوموا لله مثنى وفرادى ثم تتفكروا. Say, I exhort you to one thing, that you awake for God's sake, in pairs or individually, and then reflect. Quran 34:46. The late Gay Eaton, who has got to be one of the finest, most eloquent prose writers on Islam and traditional religion, he wrote the following at some point during the beginning of the 1990s, as per his posthumous book, Reflections. There he wrote, I think it must have been easy enough in earlier ages in the Christian world, and is still easy in those parts of the Muslim world which remain traditional, to hold to a simple faith without much intellectual content. I do not believe this is any longer possible in the modern world, for the spirit of our times asks questions for the most part hostile to faith, which demands answers, and those answers can only come from informed and thoughtful faith, from study and meditation. He then goes on to say, whatever our religion, we can no longer be sure of holding on to it out of habit or by an act of will. We have to be, if not theologians, then at the very least, people who study their religion and who think about it. End of quote. So that, I think, pretty much gets to the heart of the matter. Now, this isn't to say that a Muslim can't love Allah or be committed to Allah's path unless he or she becomes some sort of philosopher, theologian. Not at all. But while less than half a century ago one could be a good Muslim and remain so without ever having heard of Imam al-Ghazali or Ibn Taymiyyah or any other of the celebrated scholars of Islam, today a Muslim who doesn't have some grounding in the doctrines, assumptions and metaphysics upon which the Islamic faith is rooted stands in certain danger, unless of course they are kind of cocooned in some impenetrable shell of simplicity or naivety. Simple Muslims of earlier times who knew relatively little, yet possessed depth of faith, could scarcely be expected to survive in today's world, where the senses, the intellect, and the spiritual heart are relentlessly and constantly bombarded by imagery and arguments of disbelief and distraction from God. These podcasts hope to speak to such concerns and will attempt to discuss and explore how best we can remain faithful to Islam's revealed teachings in our postmodern age, an age that grows increasingly hostile and intolerant of traditional expressions of religion. Yet, as the American Muslim scholar Dr. Sherman Jackson reminds us, Dr. Jackson currently being Professor of Religion and American Studies and Ethnicity at the University of Southern California, Dr. Jackson reminds us this, that whilst modernity or postmodernity is our context, we must never allow it to become our excuse. So here, let me briefly preempt future discussions concerning traditionalism and traditional readings of Islam in contrast to progressive or liberal reinterpretations of the religion. It has been said that while tradition civilizes, education perfects. Whilst tradition civilizes, education perfects. The idea here being that tradition should be a living, vibrant, dynamic idea that is rooted in the past Muslim scholastic and spiritual legacies and draws on the great wealth, depth and beauty of these spiritual and intellectual legacies so as to learn, so as to learn how to live and navigate through the specific cultural and philosophical milieu that we currently find ourselves in. And if I'm to be brutally honest, ever since the late 80s, I've heard of and I've run into many advocates of quote-unquote liberal Islam or progressive Islam. But I have yet to meet a qualified Muslim jurist, a faqih of any worth, who believes that the laws and practices of Islam must be fossilized in some medieval 10th or 11th century reading of the religion. Perhaps they're out there somewhere, and it's just that I haven't encountered them. But look, on the whole, Muslim jurists are cautious of change and are usually slow to tweak, expand, or revise existing religious rulings. And sometimes that's because they are slow off the starting block. Sometimes it's because they've been overcautious, occasionally to the point of neglect. But mostly, it is out of a pious restraint that stops them from running around like headless chickens and bending to every wind of change or pandering to the zeitgeist of every age. Perhaps if we ourselves weren't so unlearned in matters of sacred law and sacred history, and if we were more honest about our own ignorance or insecurities, we might even see that this slowness or caution exhibited by seasoned scholars is more a case of fools rush in where angels fear to tread. Who knows? But whatever the case, if not stagnant articulations of Islam and nor liberal reinterpretations, then what? Clearly there's a need to reform. There needs to be some reform. And I use that catch-all term reform very reluctantly. Well, according to the Prophet's words, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may peace and blessings be upon him, the reform must be a restoration, an islah, a setting aright. In this context, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held up for us the example of the ghuraba, these rightly guided strangers, when he gave us glad tidings about them. And on being asked who these ghuraba or strangers were, he replied, "Alladhina yasluhuna idha fasada an-nas." Those who set aright when people are corrupt, or those who set right what people have corrupted. In other words, those who yasluhun, those who do islah, who set things aright and rectify things. The English Muslim scholar Abdul Hakim Murad, Dean of the Cambridge Muslim College and also lecturer in Islamic Studies at Cambridge University, he best captures the sentiment of the above hadith when he wrote in his marvellous book, Commentary on the 11th Contentions, and I quote, "The scholar reforms only because others have deformed." Subhanallah. The scholar reforms only because others have deformed. So again, we see this idea of a recognizable distinctness or strangeness, which, in some large and significant measure, calls us to be counterculture or countercultural. Of course, the distinction must be for the sake of Allah, not for the sake of ego or a mere antagonism. It's not meant to be a nafsi thing. Before wrapping up this welcome episode, let me say a few final words about the podcast's subtitle, Seeking the Divine Shade. The overall title of this podcast series being The Red Umbrella, Seeking the Divine Shade. The connection between umbrella and shade will not be lost on anyone, I'm sure. We use umbrellas in this country usually to weather the rain. But they can also be used to shade us from the unbearably hot rays of a summer sun. There is comfort and coolness, and a relief and a sense of repose to be had under an umbrella's shade. In a similar way, the believer seeks to live under the caring and embracing shade of God, of Allah, hoping to be of those people, as one authentic hadith puts it, يُذِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلُّهُ, who Allah will shade under his shade, on the day there shall be no shade except his shade. To live under the shade of God's presence in this world, and to be raised under the shade of his divine pleasure and acceptance in the hereafter, is the distinctness which we ask Allah in his infinite kindness to grace us with. Thus, with intellectual and spiritual inquiry as our starting point, and God as our goal, let's bring this first podcast to a close. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time for the next episode of The Red Umbrella. I've been your host and presenter, Sarkhil Abu Alia, and remember, the mind is like an umbrella. It's best useful when open. Wassalamu alaikum.